You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome along to the UFC Buzz Podcast with a BT Sport pundit, Gareth A. Davis. Good to have you with us ahead of UFC Fight Night 99 and UFC Fight Night 100. Dave Kellner here in the studio in the UK and still in Las Vegas. It is Gareth A. Davis on the line. First of all, good morning to you, Gareth.
A very good morning to you from a sunny Las Vegas.
Has it been too much fun to come back, Gareth?
Well, I don't know about too much fun, but there's so many fights at the moment, so much going on that, you know, it's boxing and MMA are big in America at the moment, and I'm out here for those. I mean, I'm even staying out next week as well, Dave, for Vasyl Lomachenko and Nicholas Walters. So, you know, I won't be home anytime soon.
Talk to us about last week's event in Madison Square Gardens. Conor McGregor, the highlight, his win against Eddie Alvarez. A stunning performance, schooled Eddie Alvarez from the outset, really. Gareth, talk to us about the event.
Well, the event itself was electrifying. It was a brilliant night. It was a historic event at Madison Square Garden. It was a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere and some amazing fights. I mean, just at the top of the card, really. Joanna Jędrzejczyk was in a great fight with Karolina Kowalkiewicz, who was found a lot of new fans, even though she didn't beat Joanna. A real five-round war at strawweight. Tyron Woodley and Stephen Thompson was a really unusual matchup of striker wrestler against karate expert, and was really, really amazing, and they were both on point. And Woodley almost put Thompson away, but, you know, it was a draw in the end, and I think the right result. And then Conor McGregor, well, you know, he talks the talk and he walks the walk, and that's exactly what he did. And that truck of a left hand, just Alvarez just couldn't do anything about it. And even though I'd put the caveat, I thought he'd win. He'd win within, you know, needed to win within 10, 12 minutes. And the caveat being that Alvarez could take him into the trenches. McGregor handled him easily. He's the king of New York. It's as simple as that.
He is indeed. What's next for Conor McGregor, Gareth?
Well, he's going to become a daddy in May, he revealed to us. He is always putting pressure on the UFC to pay him more. Everyone's like that, I suppose. But right now, he's one of the biggest things in fight sports. There's no question about it. I mean, I even sat with Triple H. I don't know if our listeners saw my tweet with Triple H. I did an interview with him as well, and he said he loved Conor McGregor in the WWE for an appearance. So that's a possibility. Remember, Floyd Mayweather did it against the Big Show at one point, and that was very successful. Who knows? I mean, Khabib Nurmagomedov put himself in the frame to fight for the title. Tony Ferguson, as we've spoken about before, could be in the frame as well. McGregor's got all the chips stacked around him. I don't know. He might have a rest and maybe those two face off, but he's in no hurry to get back into the octagon.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Gareth. We've got UFC Fight Night 99 in Belfast and UFC Fight Night 100 in Sao Paulo, same weekend. And we're going to start in Belfast. And Timothy Johnson versus Alexander Volkov first up. 4-5 here with William Hill for Johnson to win this fight, with Volkov in the market at even money. Johnson, three fights into his UFC career, a large wrestler with power in his hands, Gareth, takes on Volkov, who's the younger of the pair at 28 years old, but is a former Bellator champ and is making his UFC debut. Have we got a clash of styles here? Because Volkov is rangier, whereas Johnson will look to close down the distance and dominate in the clinch.
Well, Volkov is a massive man at 6'7", you know, and the Russians tend to be very, very tough fighters, very clever fighters. It's his debut in the UFC. He's been in Bellator. He lost to Chet Congo. I think that's a significant loss. And Tony Johnson, both in Bellator, 136 and 139. He's a good addition to the to the UFC roster at heavyweight. It's not it's not a bad time for him to be joining the Muscovite. You know, they've both got Brazilian jiu-jitsu. They've both got striking. Listen, a jab can change it in the heavyweight division with those 4-ounce gloves. He's a really tough guy, but Johnson's a very determined character. And I've, you know, he's coming off a good win against Marcin Tybura. His one loss recently to Jared Rosholt perhaps shows his level at the moment, that he's perhaps a little bit, he's got to develop more. He's got to develop his skills more. We see that with the heavyweights when they come in. It's the top of the food chain in the UFC. I expect this to be, for me, it's a 50-50. He who lands first wins this one. It's as simple as that.
That's how it's priced as well, Gareth. What's your gut feeling then, Johnson or Volkov?
I fancy Volkov in this fight by TKO in the second round.
Even money, Volkov, to win the fight. Gergan Mousasi is the headliner against Uriah Hall in the middleweight clash in Belfast. And Gergan Mousasi, long odds on here, Gareth, 1-5 to win this fight. Uriah Hall is 7-2. This is the main event, and Mousasi undoubtedly will be out for revenge here, Gareth. Hall famously beat him when the pair met back in 2015 with that stunning spinning back kick. But since then, things have changed. Mousasi is 3-0 since that loss, while Hall has lost both of his fights. So from an odds perspective, if Hall was to upset Mousasi again, it would be a major shock.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, the point is, Mousasi was absolutely brilliant at UFC 204 against Vitor Belfort. Absolutely owned him for the best part of 1.5 rounds. And he's such a brilliant fighter. It's like he's an Armenian from Iran, and he fights as if he's on a magic flying Persian carpet at times. And he looked like that against Vitor Belfort. He makes very few mistakes. The danger for anyone against Uriah Hall is that he's so long, he's so rangy, so fast, he's got so many ways to knock people out, that Gegard's got to close the range, close the distance, and smother Uriah Hall, and not stand off and pick his way through the fight. He's got to get straight into Uriah Hall, get him down, and submit him. That's what he needs to do against Uriah Hall. I think we'll see a different fight from him this time. He's normally very patient on the outside, Gegard, and he's in the frame, you see, to fight for the UFC middleweight title at some point, of course, held by Michael Bisping, our very own Michael Bisping. Right now, Gegard is defending the number 5 position in the middleweight ranking. So, you know, Hall at 10. So there's things on the line for Hall as well. If he can pull off another spectacular win by knockout, which is what he's brilliant at, he shoots up those rankings, potentially above the likes of, I don't know, Derek Brunson and Vitor Belfort himself. He lost to Robert Whittaker recently, and he's ranked at 7. There's a lot on the line in this fight. Dave, I think what's key is, as I say, Mousasi starting fast, not getting caught by Hall, and he'll be wary of those long legs and those long levers that Hall uses to eviscerate a lot of his opponents. But I do fancy Gegard to do it this time round. I mean, my word, he's only fought, I think he's fought, what was it, 7 weeks ago. But I still think that this is a night that Gegard Mousasi can make his own.
Is he the more technically gifted of the two then, Gareth?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, yeah, I mean, Hall is very technically gifted in the stand-up, but Mousasi has such a brilliant all-round game that he's got the ability to get to Hall in the positions, any position to submit him during this fight. I don't think he'll want a straight out striking war. But as I say, the key is not to give Hall space to let those feet go because they are so dangerous. Listen, you cannot rule out Hall winning this fight. But for me, this time, Musasi will get the job done. And I think it'll probably be by submission in the second round.
Very good. Let's move on to UFC Fight Night 100 in Sao Paulo then. And we'll start with the women's strawweight clash between Claudia Gadela and Courtney Casey. And Gadela 1-5 to win this fight. Casey is in the market at 7-2. And Gadela, Gareth, is a serious strawweight. The only fighter she's lost to is the unstoppable Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Those two losses aside, she's been perfect, and she is long odds on to beat Courtney Casey. And Cast Iron Casey opened her UFC career with back-to-back losses against Joanne Calderwood and Siohee Ham. But she's rectified things in her past two fights with a first-round submission of Randa Marcos at UFC 202 in August, and a first-round technical knockout win against Christina Stanciu at UFC Fight Night 91 in July. So, interesting clash, this one.
Yeah, very interesting clash. As you say, rightfully, Claudia Gadelha is the favourite in this fight. You know, she has to be the favourite. She's a very, very tough woman. Strong hands, brilliant wrestling, great jiu-jitsu. But Courtney Casey is, as you say, coming off two very good victories over Stanclu and Randa Marcos, who's no easy pushover. It's a good fight, this. And Claudia Gadelha, of course, was in a brutal fight last time out against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And, you know, there's a real rivalry. She'll want to get back at Jędrzejczyk again and get another shot at the title. I mean, for me, there's, you know, the thing is with Gadelha, she's still sitting there ranked number one challenger in the women's strawweight division. It's a really, really big fight for Courtney Casey, because she's not even in the top 15 at the moment in that division. So it's a massive jump for her. I cannot see Claudia Gadelha being beaten by Courtney Casey. I think I'm looking at a first or second round submission victory for Claudia, who is absolutely brilliant on the ground.
Let's move on to the bantamweight clash then between Albert Morales and Thomas Almeida. And Morales is the outsider here at 23-10, Almeida 1-3. We do have method of results, round betting, and fight to go the distance markets on the William Hill website as well. Just go to williamhill.com and click on the UFC MMA page. Almeida's looking to bounce back from the first loss of his career. Was knocked out at UFC Fight Night 88 in May in Las Vegas. That broke a 21-fight winning streak to open his career. So Almeida clearly a special fighter.
Oh no, he is an incredible talent, frankly. For me, Almeida is one of the stars or potential stars of the bantamweight division. The key for him, he's up against an unbeaten fighter in Albert Morales, very dangerous fighter. You know, they call him the warrior. He has really, really heavy hands. He's got all the skills available to him in MMA. He's got one draw in his last fight against Alejandro Perez. But, you know, I think the thing is with Morales, he really brings it. This is going to be the fight of the weekend for me. They are both incredible strikers. As you say, Thomas Almeida hadn't lost in a fight until he was defeated by Cody Garbrandt, who Cody No Love, as we know him as, who now gets the title shot, of course, against Dominic Cruz. But Thomas Almeida, for me, is genuinely one of the most exciting fighters that we have on the entire UFC roster. He can go from the ground to the stand-up. He transitions brilliantly. He's got heavy hands. He only knows 100% full-on fighting every time he steps into the octagon. I mean, I'm recalling now in my mind his incredible fight with Brad Pickett, where Pickett put him down early, and he came back and he smashed our British veteran, Brad Pickett. As I say, sleeper fight this one, Dave. Albert Moray, both guys with heavy hands, both really going for it. But I think Almeida has the smarts. He's got the MMA smarts in the octagon for this one. And I just think this is a three-round war we're going to see. And I think Thomas Almeida, by decision or by TKO in the third round.
Thomas Almeida, by decision, is in the market at 100-13. If you think Thomas Almeida's going to win in the third round, that's 8-1. You mentioned Garbrandt there. How good is he, Gareth, just looking ahead?
I mean, Cody Garbrandt is one of the brilliant young talents in the UFC. There are people saying, oh, why is he getting his opportunity? He's only ranked at number 6 against Dominic Cruz, the champion. But you know what? He's so exciting as a fighter. He's 10-0 unbeaten. He's got striking, brilliant striking, great wrestling, cardio to die for. Fighting, of course, out of Sacramento, California, where so many great fights have come through. He's very tall bantamweight as well. I say at 5'8". Good long reach, 65 inches. He's just one of those guys, so wiry, so fast. And the problem he's got, he's up against a very elusive fighter in the champion Cruz, who's got a very unusual style in which he bobs in and out. But if Garbrandt gets hold of Cruz, I'm telling you, that is all over. But it's the if he gets hold of him. And of course, they're fighting on December the 30th. Here in Las Vegas at UFC 207, where Ronda Rousey, of course, makes her comeback against champion Amanda Nunes, who I spent time with in New York, and who said, Dave, that, you know, one of the things about Ronda Rousey, who made an appearance in New York, is that she's got no humility about her, and she's going to teach her a lesson. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fascinating.
That should be a wild event, that one in Las Vegas at the end of the year, then. Gareth, I presume you'll be there for that one as well.
I'm thinking about it.
The last fight we're going to look at on this podcast is Antonio Nogueira versus Ryan Bader. And Bader is 1-4 to win this fight. Nogueira in the market at 3-1. This is a rematch from September 2010, where at the time Bader picked up a decision victory, which moved him to 12-0. Nogueira is the outsider, a pretty big outsider as well, Gareth. What does he have to do to get the upset victory in this fight? Because he's 40 years old now, Nogueira, and Father Time catches up with everyone. It looks like it's caught up with Nogueira to a certain extent now.
No, I completely agree with you. You know, the thing is with Nogueira, he can put it in some great victories. I mean, he's coming off a victory against Patrick Cummings, but, you know, they both had recent losses to Anthony Johnson, who is their kryptonite, most people's kryptonite in the light heavyweight division. Such a dangerous fighter, unless you can get him to the ground and nullify him. The thing is, Abeda, he's made runs on the title, and then it's escaped from him. And I think, you know, what I'd like to see from Bader, he is a championship contender, but I think he belongs to a division. I think both of these guys do. I think you've got John Jones, of course, is out of the picture at the moment, but I would put him in this mix. Cormier is the champion, but John Jones is the number one in the division when and if he comes back. And you've got Cormier, Johnson, Jones, and Gustafsson, who are one tier, almost one level of light heavyweights in the UFC. And then underneath that, I think you have Glover, Teixeira, Ryan Bader, Jimmy Manua, and Ovince St. Preux on a similar kind of level as well. And I mean, Jimmy Manua, who I'm a huge fan of, and you know, we've been friends a long time. He's a brilliant fighter from South London. he's ranked at 5 at the moment, and Bader's 4. As you say, the thing is, for Bader, he's got to have several spectacular wins to get himself in the frame again to fight for the title. It's as simple as that. The danger for him is that he defeats Nogueira in this one and has to fight someone like Jimmy Manua, because it's Glover Teixeira's beaten him before in a fight he should have won way back in September 2013. And the thing is, for Ryan, who's a brilliant striker wrestler, he's not getting any younger. He's 33. He's got massive commitments to a big gym that he runs in Reno, Nevada, I think it was. Oh, no, I think where it is, but he runs a big gym with a lot of interest. So it's Chandler, Arizona, that he runs a giant gym. I've even run into lots of people at every event who train out of Bader's center. He is so loved by his local community. And I think with Ryan, yes, he's still fighting. Yes, he's still got ambitions. But I think that life's taking him over a little bit. And he's got 3 little kids. I think he's got to win this fight. He's going to fight for the title again. He's got to win this fight. Otherwise, he slides out of the picture. I think he does win it. I think he wins it by very, very good striking. His movement's so much better than it was, say, 3-4 years ago. Nogueira, as you say, is in decline. I agree with that. Both Nogueira brothers, every time he turns, it's like an old galleon creaking. and I see Bader by knockout in this fight, believe it or not. In rounds 2 or 3, Bader knockout. Bader by knockout. And then maybe he's going to fight our own Jimmy Manua, or maybe a rematch with Glover Teixeira.
Bader in round 2 is 9-2 here with William Hill. Bader in round 3 is available at 6-1. Gareth, enjoy the rest of your time in Las Vegas. Thank you for speaking to me on this podcast. Wonderful insight on UFC Fight Night and 99 and 100. You can follow Gareth on Twitter at Gareth A. Davis DT is Gareth's Twitter handle. Mine is at D. Kellner. Gareth, thank you for your company.
Absolute pleasure, Dave, as always, and enjoy the fights this weekend, everyone.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.